Esther. I don't know who did their part first. The sermon or the worship verses, the worship songs. But those first two go right along with my teaching today. You'll be impressed that you heard from God. Or maybe I heard from God because Esther had it first. I don't know. Last week, Drew and the worship team led a worship song called Even Me. And there were several phrases in that song that really made a difference to me, really spoke to my heart. And I'll read a couple of them here. He knows my past. That kind of can be scary, can't it? The choices that I made. When I had wondered, when I pushed away. You ever realize there's probably been plenty of times in your life where you kind of pushed God away? You probably all have. I know I have. I'll follow you, God, but I don't want to go there. My life was lost. His life he gave. And when we sung that part, my life was lost, it made me think because I've thought about that phrase quite often over the years. There's a song that goes, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And that phrase, my life was lost, was blind, but now I see. How many can relate to those words, those songs? You two ladies, how do you relate? What comes to mind to you two? Uh-huh. Okay. Yep. Yeah. It's amazing how God can meet us where we need him the most every time. Tammy, what comes to your mind? Yeah. You know that phrase in the second one, I'm lost, was blind, but now I see. In my devotions this week, a verse came to mind from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You might be familiar with that. It's called the love chapter. You read it a lot of times at weddings and all. But it says, for now we see through a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I've also been fully known. So there'll come a time when we're in heaven that we actually will be know-it-alls. But it doesn't happen down here. And what do you think it means to see through a mirror dimly? What comes to mind is you take a shower, and then you turn the water off and you try to look in the mirror and it's all fuzzy, right? You can't see. Mirror dimly. And I looked that up and I was reading that because of that song. I was blind, but now I see. And now I see in a mirror dimly. And the word dimly has a one by it. And I never bothered to check what that means. And in the center of the page, it lists what that literally means, not so much dimly, but it means in a riddle. That was interesting to me. You ever view the life as things are going on and they don't make sense, they don't line up, you don't understand, and it's kind of like a riddle. Really? Or is it just me? And that's when you really just have to just trust God. But the most important part of those two songs, back to the first one, my life was lost. You know, for me, I couldn't relate to that so much because I always had my goals. I always had my dreams. I always had my things I was shooting for, working towards, moving in that direction. And I was never lost like a lot of people I know. But as I was thinking about that during the worship, standing up here, I felt like God break into my brain here. You ever have God interrupt your thoughts? Sometimes, no, not sometimes, every time. It's a good thing, whether we want to admit or not. He interrupts our thoughts. And I was thinking about that as far as I was never lost in that way. And just like that, God said, oh, but Jess, you were lost. You just didn't know it. You see the truth in that. Even when we think we're not lost, we could be lost. We just don't know it. And we don't know everything. It's like seeing through a dimly lit mirror or a riddle. But God wants to help us through those times. Maybe you can relate to this thought. I grew up in a church, but I didn't know Jesus. I knew religion. I knew do's and don'ts, but I didn't really know Jesus. Did anybody other than me relate to that? That's where I was at. I wasn't a horrible guy, maybe in my own eyes, but I didn't know Jesus. Another song that came to mind while I was driving around one of my last days in my truck. He traded my truck in. It wouldn't pass inspection anymore. So we traded it in. And on the way down to trade it in, there was a song I was listening to. And you probably have heard this if you're close to my age. It was written in 1922. I looked it up this week just because I was curious about it. And it goes like this. And if you know the first stanza or so, you can sing along with me. It says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim at the light of his glory and grace. Now my question with that, what things of the earth are in my life? And until I really start focusing on Jesus, they don't grow strangely dim. Matter of fact, they take precedence and forefront in my life. What kind of things like that might there be? I made a list of about 6 of them, but we'll see if you can come up with any of them. 6 that I come up with is my need for recognition. You never had that, right? It's a real thing. Or my need for more money. Was it Rockefeller? Someone asked him one time, how much money is enough? He said, one more dollar than I have. So, you know, you just want more. Or the need for your pleasures. Here's a huge one in our society today. The need for sports. Whether you're playing them or watching them or participating in them, and sometimes competitiveness is beyond the meter. How about politics? Is that a real big thing? You can be a Democrat and it can be a big thing. You can be a Republican and it's a big thing. Need for adventures. That was one I struggled with a lot. How about you? What other things of the world might you or I need to allow to come strangely dim when we're focusing on Jesus? Any idea? Any others to add to that list? Esther? Need for control. That's a huge one too. Any others? What if somebody was was to offer you a blank check. They had already signed the bottom. You just had to fill in your name and the amount, and it could be for any amount, for any need that you had. Does that sound too good to be true? It's not. You want to hear a Bible story about someone offering us a blank check? If you have your Bible, you can turn there. I'm sure they'll put it up on the wall here. It's from John chapter 14. I'm going to read the first six verses, but the blank check comes more visible in verse 6. But it starts out, Jesus is talking here, and these are amazing, important verses and insightful verses. John 14, verses 1 through 6. Do not let your heart be troubled. Who's saying that? Aren't you glad you never allowed that to happen since you gave your life to Jesus? Some people are smiling. Some people are not. Some people are thinking, get real, Jess. But God says, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus says. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. I learned that back half a century ago. In King James, it says mansions. Whether it's a mansion or a dwelling place, I'd be satisfied with just a little cottage along a stream somewhere. But just, I want to make it there. I mostly to be with Jesus. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you see why he's saying that to us? He wants us just to know how important we are to him, that he wants to spend eternity with us. Is that too good to be true or not? Well, it's too good to be true, but it is true. Verse 5, Thomas said to him, you know, the guy that had to ask some of these questions, but it was good he asked. It's almost like Jesus set him up to ask this question so he could answer the question. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one can come to the Father but through me. Sorry, all you other religions of the world that said you can get to heaven by some other means and it's all the same God, baloney. There's only one way to God, and it's through Jesus. But the point that I want to make here is that I am the way. What do you think Jesus meant by that? That I am the way. Well, I think the main part is he's saying, I am the way to live your life. You follow my way, and it'll be best for you. But it goes probably a little deeper than that. It's more than just the way to live your life. The way for what? I think it's the way for anything. That's where the blank check comes in. The way to get help? I need help. Find your name. And the amount of help you need. And I'm going to take care of it. How about him being the way to get direction? That's a huge one. One of the things I'm still learning this is that I feel like I should do this. I step out to do it, and there's a roadblock there, and I'm not able to do it. So I can either get frustrated or say, God, you must have something going on here, and the best I can do is see dimly. It's a puzzle to me. I don't understand it. I might not even like it. But I'm just going to trust you. And then down the road, it might be the same day. It might be the same week. It might be who knows how long. But God answers that prayer and gives you the direction you need. He's the way to get wisdom. He's the way to get discernment. A blank check for anything we need. He's the way to get real, lasting joy. Jeff, you think you're the only one to have joy. But we can all get joy, lasting joy, if we go to Him and sign the check. And we'll find out what it costs to sign the check in just a few moments. But He's the way to get rest, real rest. He's the way to get peace in your life when there's no peace around you. In the eye of a storm, He can give you peace. But to cash that check, Jess Shingler, you have to learn to put your eyes on Jesus and keep them there. Put your eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes to Jesus. And when we do that, and we start doing that on a more regular basis, and the more we do it, the better off it happens in our lives, that the things of the earth, that need for recognition, or what was your word, Esther? Control. Or for more money, more finances, more pleasures, get more sports involved, more politics, more adventures. All those things start to fade away, will strongly grow, strongly dim in the light of His glory and His grace. You see, even in our churches, even in this church, I'm sure there are people that are still hung on to trying to find identity and purpose in life by going for all those different things. You can fill in your blank for you. But it's not going to work for identity in your life. It's not going to work for purpose, long-lasting purpose in your life. The only thing that's going to give us true identity comes from that first song that Esther led this morning, that we find our identity in being a man or a woman of God. It says child of God. And that's true. I'm a child of God. But I thought the adults here will relate more for a man of God, right? Or a woman of God. That's where you find your identity. You can have a lot of those things we've mentioned, precious things, some of them we mentioned, as things in your life. They're not all horrible, bad things. It's just that they can't define you. You know what I mean by define you? There's not where you're going to get your identity from. When 11 years ago, going on 12, Marcy had something wrong. It was obviously my wife, and she's in New York this weekend with her son Andrew, kids. But she found out from a doctor. We went in to have her checked, and the test results come back. And Susanna, you were there for that first biopsy. I remember that far back. But she was diagnosed with a stage 4, which is about as far as you can go, non-curable cancer. You know, that means the chance of me having a wife very long after that, almost zilch. And yet, she's probably in better shape today than I am. One of the things she said to me early on in those times that really caught my attention and made so much sense. And it's this, that I'm not going to allow this cancer to define me. I'm not going to let this cancer become my identity. What do you think she meant by that? You know, someone has cancer, they're dying, there's not much of a chance to live. So you come up to them and you want to cheer them up, but they don't want to spend the whole conversation talking about their sickness. And it can be more than just the cancer. It can be any. It can be aches and pains we have. And the older you get, it just makes you think more of what heaven's going to be like with that new body. But you don't want to let those aches and pains or even cancer define who you are. Because Marcy was still a child of God. She was still a godly woman. She was a woman of God. And that's what she wanted to be recognized as and defined by as. And there's other things. There's so many other things that come our way that it's almost like they take our identity away from us as far as being a man or a woman of God. When we started homeschooling, it was about 35 to 40 years ago. And there was only one other person in this part of the state that I knew was doing it. And truthfully, they were a bunch of wackos. So I wouldn't even want to even recognize them. But that's what we felt God wanted us to do. So we started homeschooling. And then it grew and it grew and it's still growing. And with that pandemic, it's blossomed. Thousands and thousands more every week are starting that. And you don't have to do that. That's just an option. But it was an option we picked. But one of the things I noticed working with homeschoolers early on, it's like when they became a homeschooler, that was their identity. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, I'm a homeschooler. So, that's all you are? What about a child of God? Here's another big one. Health foods. Oh, this is what I have to eat to stay healthy. You do these things and you drink that thing and you're going to just die within seconds. I don't know. But again, there's nothing wrong with eating healthy. I mean, I love vegetables, but I also love the animals. So anyway, so can you see how those things can be so containing and controlling that defines who you are by what you eat? Or how sick you are? How about this one? What do you do for a living? Oh, I'm this. And I'm so needed. And isn't that neat? What if somebody was to ask you, Justin, but what do you do for a living? Instead of saying a pastor, I think, oh, I'm a man of God. And I just do what he shares with me to do on a regular basis. How many guys are willing to take that challenge along with me? That's what I want to answer that question with from now on. What do you do for a living? Well, I'm a man of God. Now, Michelle, you don't have to answer it that way because you're not a man, you're a woman. But you can say, well, what do you do for a living? Well, I organize all these truckers to do their jobs. Or you could say, I'm a woman of God. And I try to follow that Jesus every day of my life. That's what should define us. And can you see that's why those two first songs, Esther, were so meaningful to me? Because that's what those two first songs talked about. We can only find our identity when we realize our identity is tied up and solely in our walk with God. When we're following Him, and we're trying to do what's right. If there was ever a time for someone to shout amen, it would be right now.
Amen.
That was nicer, Leo. Everybody, listen to Leo one more time.
Amen.
That's how you say amen, not.
Amen.
You ready? If there was ever a time to say amen, that our identity is tied up not in what we do or what we like, or what we eat or how sick we are, but our identity is tied up in Jesus and following him. We're a man or a woman of God.
Amen.
Yeah. I want 3 people to rush up here. And if you have to knock someone out of the way to get up here first, go ahead and do it. But the first 3 up here are going to help me close in prayer. Come on. They won't really knock you to your feet. Steve, I know you're one of them. Come on up here. Oh, yeah. You get to join Jeff. There's room for 1 more. See, nobody knocked him over.
We're not knocking him over.
The main theme of the sermon is that until we grasp this, that that's where we get our identity from. All those other things, we're just lost until we really find that truth and start walking in it. Isn't that true?
Amen.
So go ahead, guys. Close us in prayer.
Father God, we just thank you for sending your son Jesus to be led to have a road back to you. God, we get so caught up in the daily routine sometimes of just trying to do the things we need to do to keep the lights on, food on the table, but we can take our eyes off you, Lord God, and we need to focus on you. You can give us the answer when we're struggling, when we're searching, when we're lost. If we look to you, we need to focus on you instead of the situation, and you will. The Bible says if anyone lacks wisdom, ask and you'll grant wisdom to us. Lord God, you meet us where we're at, and you make a way. You just make a way when the world says it's impossible. All things are possible with God. And we just ask that you would help us to identify with you and not the world.
In Jesus' name, amen.
First off, I want you to take that camera out of my garage. I think we discussed that before. It's everything you just went over today. The wife and I were discussing it.
It's not me that has to take that camera. Your problem is with God. But go ahead.
I don't know where you even start. Dear God, thank you for the connection. Thank you for the family you've given me here. This is an absolutely fantastic church. Excellent guidance. Everybody has their own problems. God interrupts me every day of the week. Every day of the week. I mean, it's hard doing what I do, commodity location engineer. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do what I do and keep calm. Mm-hmm. And God's always there for me. There's nothing more to say except for thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for being there for my wife, for being there for my family, my extended family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Lord, I just pray that you continue molding us more like you, Lord. Without you, we are nothing, Lord. And you just continue to work miracles in our lives, Lord. You're awesome, Lord. We just thank you so much, Lord, for everything that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.